Welcome back to Shift with Beth. I'm your host, Beth Shield, and today's episode is permission to take space and take up space too. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to give you a little life update because so much has been happening in these last few months. First off, Randy and I got engaged in May in Sedona. If you follow me on social media, I share that there, but I actually haven't talked about this on the podcast yet. I did record a whole episode, a whole solo episode about it, like maybe a few weeks after it happened, but I haven't released it yet. And I don't know if I ever will, just because it's a hard line sometimes with what I want to share and what feels too vulnerable to share or what I want to keep private. And so we'll see if that one ever gets posted. Over 4th of July, we went on a big blended family trip to Telluride where my oldest daughter, Reagan, got engaged too. And what's layered about this is I was still processing this massive engagement for myself. And then I got to go watch my daughter have her own, which was so special and so beautiful. And it was also like, it's just a weird kind of thing to navigate, like something you don't think is going to happen as an adult, that you're going to be engaged at the same time as your daughter. It's so fun, and it's also just kind of a weird feeling. Also on that trip, we took our very first blended family photo, like professional photo. And that is something that is a really big deal to me too. So just like having the capacity to do all of these things all kind of seeming like at the same time was a lot. Watching Ray and Nate, the way they show up for each other, the things they've already learned about communication and conflict at their age and their relationship, it's been really beautiful to witness. And so many times I catch myself thinking, man, I wish I'd known that at my known what they know at their age, at my age. It's really beautiful to watch someone I raised choose a partnership that's already this conscious, where they're doing their own healing work and therapy, and they're aware and they're able to look at themselves. And they started dating when they were 16, so they've been through a lot together. So it is a really exciting time. But it was kind of in this moment after getting engaged myself, knowing that my daughter was about to get engaged too, and then planning for this first blended family photo, I started noticing in myself kind of my need for one-on-one support again for myself. I hadn't had that kind of dedicated space for myself in a while. Sometimes I take breaks, but I love to have support as much as possible. You know, someone to process with, someone to help me see things that I can't see. But it had just been, I don't know, a while since I'd had that. And I was just kind of feeling that need for support. And so in June, I started working with a new somatic experiencing practitioner. She was one of the assistants at my training, and she's just the most amazing woman. And kind of connected with the work I've been doing with her too is kind of the biggest question for myself lately, which is, what do I actually share? How much do I share? And what's the purpose behind it? Because here's what I want you to understand. The reason I share anything at all is because I want to show people what's possible on the other side of breaking your patterns. What's possible when your entire life has been burnt to the ground and you choose yourself anyway, and how you come back from that. But most of all, what's possible when you don't abandon yourselves? And that's not necessarily meaning that you're going to go through a divorce like I did. It's learning how to stop abandoning yourself in your long-term marriage or with your in-laws or at work or in a friendship. And I've lived so much of that self-abandonment, but now I'm living proof that there is a way to stop doing that, and the joy and expansion and happiness on the other side, the peace, I should say. And now that I'm in a conscious relationship that truly has blown our minds, I didn't know this kind of relationship was possible. Of course, I want to share that too. And just recently, I started coaching couples for the first time. And that's something I've been feeling coming for a while, because I want other couples to be able to expand their connection and intimacy. And truly, anyone who has the desire can change their patterns, no matter if you're in a new relationship or you've been married for, you know, 20 plus years. It's possible to break patterns and communicate differently and have more connection and consciousness, which leads into beautiful intimacy and energy in all levels. Anyways, that's kind of a tangent I went off on, but more of that to come. So lately, as I've been going a little bit deeper into some of this healing work again, I've been processing a lot these last few months. And so it's hard to hold both of these things or all of these things at the same time of I'm engaged and it's beautiful. My daughter's also engaged. And there's a lot of, deeper healing happening underneath. And I feel like I'm always healing, but it's kind of been more layers peeled back recently. And so I'm still just kind of navigating all that. And on top of that, I'm blending a family. I'm navigating new dynamics every day. And as an empath, as someone who feels and cares deeply for others, and also someone who has the tools to support everybody, I want to help everyone. I want to hold space for everyone. But then I find myself completely depleted at times. So the last thing I want to do in that state is create content, put more of myself out there. So what I've been doing is I've just been taking the pressure off myself. Randy has been amazing about supporting me, navigating everything, reminding me that I don't owe anyone a timeline or when or how or if I share something. And so that one unreleased episode is part of that. I'm trusting that some things just aren't ready yet. They might not ever be. And that's okay. It just means I'm honoring my own timing over the pressure to perform or put out there what I think other people want. And just, we're just doing summertime things. I don't know whenever you're listening to this, but right now we're in July in Arizona and it's so hot. And so just doing the things with the kids and all of it. It's just been beautiful. So today I want to talk about something that showed up for me recently. Really checking in with yourself. Noticing when you're feeling reactive, burnout, overwhelmed, and giving yourself permission to take up space, whether that's time alone or physical space of your own, without the guilt that tries to talk you out of it. I want to back up for a second because the alone time didn't come out of nowhere for me. It came out of noticing something in myself first. We had just come off this incredible family trip to Telluride. It truly was the most connecting and the most comfortable that I feel like we've all felt as a blended family. Also, where Reagan actually got proposed to, which was so unreal. I mean, I need to do like a regular post so people can see that the backdrop of our family photos and where she was proposed to was just like, it looks fake. It's so beautiful. And one of those moments we're just never going to forget. But honestly, that trip and like just leading up to it was, I felt pretty drained. Randy and I both know this about ourselves. We tend to carry too much when it comes to our kids, making sure everyone's okay, being so present for all of them. If a kid is uncomfortable or struggling or having a hard moment, we don't just notice it. We tend to take it on, which energetically, this is kind of the work that we have to continuously do. Coming back from that amazing, full, high emotion trip like that, it just caught up with me. I started noticing I was a little more reactive, depleted, like feeling overwhelmed, just exhausted. And that's usually my body's signal that I've been running on empty. And I did something that used to feel completely impossible for me in my past. I decided to take myself somewhere alone, just me, no kids, no Randy, no agenda. And I went back up to Sedona to our favorite place. And this hotel is right on the creek that Randy and I always go to. And I just needed to be with just myself. I thought I'd do like kind of the obvious things, lay by the pool, get a massage, all that. But instead, I found myself sitting by that creek, just surrounded by trees. At one point, they pulled a chair into the water and just sat there with my feet in the water, reading, reflecting, quiet. I would do other things, but I would just find myself back by the trees, by the water, and it was just so peaceful. And here's the thing I want to be honest with you about. Before I left, I felt guilty. I was literally at war with myself. It came in strong to get away, but I felt bad telling Randy, even though I knew he would be supportive. And when I did, I was like, probably just one night, even though I really wanted to be gone too. And then later I was like, well, maybe you could come up a second night, which I would have loved that. But what I was trying to do was honor what I really needed. And so I had to work through this war with myself. And it was actually a beautiful practice with older parts of me. And ultimately, I did end up staying for 2 nights, and it was beautiful. But it took a lot of like work to get through to myself and actually what I needed. And Randy, I mean, he so honored my need for this. He wanted me to go. He was so happy for me. He made space for it without, you know, having to earn it or justify it or prove it or anything like that. And that's not something I'm used to. That was not the way it was in my past. And I noticed myself almost not knowing what to do with being supported like that. So once I actually was alone with no one to take care of or think about, I had a lot of old stuff come up. The hotel I was at had yoga and meditation classes, and I went to several of those, and I just got to be with me. And what I found was a lot of self-judgment I was carrying. Judgment toward things I've done, things I've been through, choices from a chapter of my life that I haven't had compassion for. And instead of like trying to fix it or explain that those parts of me away or rushing past it, I just sat with those versions of me, just seeing her. And I think part of why I could do that is because of the work I've been doing in that one-on-one support container I mentioned with a somatic experiencing practitioner. When one of our first sessions together, she pointed something out to me that stopped me in my tracks, which is what I love about sitting with a therapist or a coach, is we can't see everything all the time because we're stuck in our own heads and in our own experiences. And what she helped me see was that I have so much compassion for other people and the things that they've done. Even for my past, I can hold so much understanding and compassion for the person who hurt me and for why. And she asked me, she said, "Do you have that same compassion for yourself?" And I didn't. Like, I never had. I had still had so much judgment, which was kind of shocking for me to kind of have that realization. It was humbling, honestly, because I've done so much healing work. I've built my whole career around this. And I still had this blind spot, this place where I judged myself in ways I would never judge someone else, even the people that hurt me so deeply. And it's like, geez, why would I treat myself like this? But this is actually how this works. This is what I tell my clients all the time. Awareness doesn't mean you're done. Once you can see it, you start noticing everywhere it shows up. So it's not a setback, but this is where the real work begins once you become aware. And I honestly don't think I could have become aware without the support that I had. And being alone for those couple days too also brought something else up, like kind of a remembrance. After I chose myself when I was single, I had this stretch of years where I could do things without having to answer to anyone. Go where I wanted, stay as long as I wanted, structure my days entirely around what I wanted to do when I didn't have my kids. And so sitting there alone, I realized I actually missed that version of me. Not because I want to go back or be single again. And Randy is a completely different kind of partner, and this relationship is nothing like where I came from. But there was a freedom in that season that I hadn't let myself grieve or even acknowledge that I was missing. And being in a partnership brings up its own version of that old guilt. Little things, like telling myself if I go away, it should just be for one day, not two. That I should come back and make up for it to him on the second day, even though Randy has never once asked any of this of me. That guilt isn't coming from him. It's coming from an old pattern that partnership just happens to activate in me. And here's the thing, I actually wouldn't be able to heal this particular piece if I wasn't in a relationship. It only shows up because I'm in one. And so there's also a part of me that thinks if I wasn't in a relationship, I wouldn't have to feel this discomfort of choosing myself and having this alone time. Both are true at the same time. And so while I was there working through this and with the same lens my somatic experiencing practitioner has been helping me build, not judging myself, just witnessing, a lot of old stuff came up that I honestly hadn't had the capacity to work through before. I practiced a lot of self-forgiveness there too for the judgment I was still carrying about so many things, and it turned into something really beautiful. I ended up honoring the versions of myself that abandoned themselves to survive. I thanked them. I thanked them for getting through what they got through, for eventually getting us out of self-abandonment, for everything they carried so I could be who I am today. Because every one of those versions of me, because of every one of those versions of me, I'm here now. As this version, And it felt like a deep honoring. And out of that came this realization, I'm free to do this for myself anytime I want. I remember going on a walk the first morning I was there and just thinking, I get to do this whenever I want, even in a relationship. This isn't selfish. And I seriously laughed out loud about how joyful that felt, because it was never Randy holding me back from having this. It was me sitting there by that creek. I was able to process all of it with so much love and compassion. And it reminded me how much I genuinely love being with just myself. And that doesn't mean I love my partner or this relationship any less. It just means there's still a part of me that wants and needs to be nurtured on her own. It felt like such an act of self-love to just move however slowly I wanted, eat whenever I wanted, follow whatever I felt like doing, and just not having to consider someone else for once. And I want to be really honest about something else I realized while I was there. I think about other people so much. I consider them constantly. What they need, how they're feeling, whether they're okay. And that's a beautiful thing about me. And it's also something that depletes me over and over sometimes. And the part that I really want to own is that nobody's forcing me to be like this. Nobody's making me carry it. That's mine. And it's a pattern that I'm working on. And recognizing that it's coming from me and not from anyone else is part of why that time alone felt so good. It wasn't just a rest from other people. It was a rest from myself. And this isn't going to be something that's going to be happening most of my life, or like I'm going to be leaving all the time and just being by myself all the time. I mean, I guess if that's what I really wanted, I would do it. But realistically, this might be 10% of it. The rest is going to be spent with Randy, with our kids, building our life together. And I want that. But this part, whenever I need the time with just myself, gets to be honored now. And that's what's different. And I want to name this, like women especially, though this isn't only a woman's issue, do not take time for themselves typically. We give and give and give. And when it comes to spending time or maybe money, whatever it is for you, or carving out just time for you, something in us says that it's selfish, indulgent. And I just want to offer that that's just an old program. I don't think it's true. I think it's conditioning. That guilt is not you. It's a pattern. And patterns can be noticed and eventually they can be shifted. And I also want to say this doesn't have to look like what it did for me. You can't always go on a trip or go to a beautiful hotel, right? It doesn't have to be a trip somewhere. It can be 20 minutes in your car before you go inside. It could be sitting quietly in a room with the door closed while everyone else is home. It's not about the setting. It's about learning to actually tune in to what your body needs and then honoring that, even when the guilt shows up and tries to talk you out of it. The practice isn't the resort. The practice is noticing the guilt and not letting the guilt run the show. Now I want to talk about permission to take up space. And actually, I'm living this in real time right now. So I've never had my own office. In my past marriage, I worked out of what was really like his home office. And it was just very towards the end of our marriage. It never felt like mine. And then when I moved into my rental, I worked out of my bedroom, which, you know, was much smaller space. There wasn't an extra room for an office and it was totally okay. And now that Randy and I are together with all of our kids in this house, we have a lot of kids. So there is a space in the house that's called a teen room. And we really weren't like using it for much, like it wasn't really getting used. And so we decided to put a wall up and turn it into a home office for me. And even doing that, I felt guilty at first. There's still a little bit of like guilt there, I think, but taking up an entire room in a house with this many kids just for my own work, just for me, it's going to be like, it's a little office and a podcast studio. I had to actually work through that and say out loud, this is what I want. And Randy has been so supportive of it, so helpful, like managing all the construction guys that are coming in and lining it all out and like ordering things with me and measuring things. Like he's just been so incredible and I'm so, so grateful for him. I feel like he is just as excited for me as I am, maybe even more. And I get to have my own space to do my work, to not have to be in our bedroom and have Randy kicked out all the time, and just a place for me to be creative and pour into this work that I'm so passionate about. So this isn't some idea I'm just talking about. It's a room in my house right now, and it's also the same guilt, the same pattern showing up in a completely different form. And that starts with actually checking in with yourself in the first place. If you're feeling reactive, if you're snapping when you normally wouldn't, if you're feeling burnout, depleted, overwhelmed by things that don't usually overwhelm you, that's not random. It's information. Your body's telling you something before your mind catches up. And for me and Randy, it's usually a sign we've been carrying more than what's ours, holding our kids' emotions as if they're our own. So learning to notice in that moment, learning to notice in the moment instead of like later is its own kind of self-honoring. So I know that taking that time wasn't selfish. It was actually how I came back home to myself more, enough to keep showing up for everyone else, my kids, Randy, this blended family, my work. Rest and alone time are not the opposite of love. Sometimes they're what make real love possible. So before I let you go, I want to actually slow down for a second. I know how hard it can be to take time for yourself. I know the guilt that comes with it, the excuses that show up right when you're about to do it. So I just want to ask you to notice what came up for you while I was sharing all of this. Maybe you saw yourself somewhere in my story. Maybe something I said landed a little too close. I just want you to sit with you for a second instead of rushing past. So I have some questions just to sit with if you're open to it. How do you feel about taking time for yourself? Like, really, when you imagine an afternoon, a trip, some alone time, no one to check in with, no one to take care of, what comes up for you? Is it relief? Is it guilt? Is it both? And think back. Did your mom ever take time for herself? Did your dad? Did you ever watch either of them rest or take space without apologizing for it? Or did you learn without anyone ever saying it out loud that showing up for everyone else came first? Because a lot of that mom guilt, that dad guilt, the guilt period, we weren't born with it. We learned it somewhere from someone. We picked up the belief that our worth was tied to how much we gave away. And so I just want you to ask yourself, what would it actually look like for you? Not for me, not for anyone else's version of self-care, for you. What's the thing you've been putting off because it felt like too much to ask for? Notice that voice that says you can't. You don't have to obey it, just notice it. And I'm just here to tell you that it's okay to take up space. It's okay to take space. It might honestly be one of the greatest acts of self-love there is. And you're allowed to take up space with yourself. You're allowed to sit with the parts of you that still need some tenderness. So that's it for today, guys. This episode resonated, or if you think someone might benefit from it, please share it. And if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, come follow me. Come tell me that you're here. Sometimes it feels like no one's here. So come tell me what landed for you. Connect with me. I would love that. And I will see you all in the next episode.